Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for another episode, and my guest on this episode is the one and only Jerry Oates. We're going to talk about teaming with Jesse Ventura and his brother, Ted Oates, training Marty Jannetty, and much, much more. Now, before we get there, though, the big news in the world of Wrestling Nostalgia and Dave Dynasty over the past week is that my Facebook account was hacked and suspended. It has been such a mess. It got hacked, some Instagram account linked to it, which apparently had inappropriate material on it, so then they suspended my Facebook. When I went to try to recover the Facebook, they want me to log into the Instagram account, which is linked to it, which is not mine. So, it's a vicious little circle. I believe I have filed a ticket. I have an email that says there's a claim ticket, so I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if or when I will ever get it back, which is just heartbreaking for me, but we'll see what happens. It is just social media. I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but it is very frustrating and aggravating. But in the meantime, I have created a Facebook page to use. So go to Facebook and search for Nostalgic Dave Dynasty on there and like that page. That's what I'm going to use for now, at least. Who knows, maybe indefinitely. Maybe this will just be the new thing. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But of course, as I've always told you guys, the best way and the primary way to keep up with me is by following me on X at the Dave Dynasty. So yeah, it's been frustrating. So if you know, followed me on Facebook, or if we were friends on Facebook and you noticed that, what happened to me? I'm gone. Yeah, there you go. That's why. So not my doing. I'm trying to get it back, but I don't know how successful I will be. So please go and follow the page and keep up track and keep touch with me there. So, all right, then let's take a break. And when we come back, I will have my guest, Jerry Oates. So stick around.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to the Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
This is Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. Hello, I am one of your friends, Dave. I am one of the co-hosts of Listen to Their Screams with my friend, Ike, and we want you to come and check us out. We are a fun-filled, positive horror movie podcast that does reviews, news, birthdays, anniversaries. We play games. We are a ton of fun every week for you, the horror fan out there. For all of our links to our social media and the podcast platforms, just check out our link tree. It is linktr.ee/listen2screams. That is listen, the number 2, and screams. Or look us up on your favorite social media platform and podcast provider. And welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. This time we're being joined by special guest, Jerry Oates. Jerry, how are you?
I'm fine, Dave. How are you?
I am good. Thank you for taking the time to join me. You grew up in Columbus, Georgia, correct? Did you grow up a wrestling fan?
I sure did. I was born and raised in Columbus. I started going to the matches when I was like 5 years old.
Yeah, you don't get much more of a rich wrestling history than Georgia.
No, we've been blessed with it.
Yeah. And, of course, you have a brother, Ted, right, who you teamed with for a good part of your career. So what were you and Ted like growing up in Georgia?
We were athletic as young kids, you know. I started off, my first love was baseball.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. We both played Little League. He was younger than me. He was 4 years younger than I am.
Right.
And I was a catcher, made the All-Star team. We went to Atlanta, played, you know, in the finals. We got beat. But anyhow, so I was a catcher. My brother became a catcher. So, you know, then when I got in middle school, I played football. Mm-hmm. Then I got to high school. They didn't have a wrestling team. Mm-hmm. And so we talked one of the coaches into starting a wrestling thing. He said, I don't know anything about wrestling, but that's how I got started in wrestling. Plus my brother-in-law was a wrestler. That's how I actually got into professional wrestling.
Yeah. So what happened to baseball? I mean, if that was your first love.
Well, happened was I was catching, you know, for my little league team, but in the seventh grade, we had a softball team that traveled all over town playing other, elementary schools.
Yeah.
And I'd catch for the school, and then my teacher would drop me off. Then I'd go catch Little League. And my Little League coach didn't like that. But, yeah, you know, I'd catch 2 games a day as a young kid. And then when I got into middle school, I started playing football. Mm-hmm. And then I was so run down, I got something called nephritis. It was a kidney infection.
Oh.
The infection went to my kidneys, so
yeah,
my mom took me to the doctor, and I was bedridden for 7 weeks.
Jeez.
I had to get rest. You know, sometimes it can turn into chronic. You have it the rest of your life, but I was able to beat that, and I mean, I just shriveled up. I could only eat, like the first week, I could only have like 2 pieces of dry toast and a glass of water. Oof. And then, you know, as I got better, I could eat a little more. And then I tried out for, I was so run down. Then Babe Ruth came around, Babe Ruth League.
Yeah, right.
And I tried out and made the team. But the coach we had made us do all this extra running. And I told him, I said, Coach Matthews, I said, you know, I want to play bad. And I said, I can't run and keep up with other guys right now until I get my strength back. You know what he told me? He said, if you can't keep up, bring me your uniform.
So that was that, huh?
I never played baseball again.
Man, are you still a baseball fan today?
Only the Yankees.
Yankees? Not a Braves fan.
No, never have been. Never will be.
That sounds personal.
I mean, the team that Bobby Cox had.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great
and
team.
They only won one World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they'd get you know, them and the Falcons, I'm not fans of either one.
Yeah,
Falcons are the same way.
Yeah. I'm a huge baseball. I'm a Cardinals fan.
Really?
I am, yeah. And I grew up in the – grew up originally in the Midwest, so most people in my area were Reds fans because that was the closest team. And I like the Reds. I enjoyed the Reds. You know, I don't have any problem with the Reds. But I don't know, man. There was something about the Cardinals that they just
– I always liked the Cardinals.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. Yankees, Cardinals, two most decorated teams in baseball. And
my opinion.
Yeah. But Cardinals aren't having a great year, though. Yankees are doing all right.
I know.
But well, you mentioned your brother-in-law, right? Your sister was married to Dick Steinborn.
That is correct.
Yeah, and I mean, Dick's he's kind of an underappreciated, forgotten name in history, man. He was a great worker.
He was so unbelievable. I know one of the referees here in Georgia. He says, when your brother-in-law takes a backdrop, he says, he just floats through the air. You know, I mean, he was gifted, you know.
Yeah,
of course, his
yeah.
dad was a wrestler too, Milo sure. Steinborn.
Yep.
And I tell you, you know, I got in 1970.
Uh-huh.
So I'll tell you a quick story. Him and my sister were here in Columbus. They were living in Orlando. He was working for his dad. His dad had a gym and the promotion and ran towns. And Dickie was down there. Dickie was like semi-retired, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they were up here for Christmas. And I told him, I said, this was like in 1968. I said, I want you to train me to wrestle. He said, well, how am I going to do that? You're living in Columbus and I'm living in Orlando. 3 months later, I was in Orlando. I was married at that time to my first wife. And we moved down there. I was down there about 4 months. And I approached him. I said, when are we going to start working out?
Yeah.
You know what he told me?
Uh-uh.
When I'm ready.
Well, that was the mentality then, right? They wanted to make sure that you were serious.
He wanted to see if I really wanted to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I had a brother-in-law in the business that wrestled Japan, Australia. He'd been to Europe with his dad when he was a teenager wrestling. He'd been all over the world, all over the United States. He said, when I'm ready.
Yeah.
So about a month after that, he called me one Sunday afternoon. He said, get your stuff on. We're going to my dad's gym. I said, and do what? He said, get in the ring. His dad had a ring in there.
Uh-huh.
And then it started from there.
Yeah. Well, and you, I mean, you started there in Florida, which was, man, that was that time, and that was a hotbed. I mean, you.
Let me tell you, that place, when I started, the talent down there, I mean, guys love to go to Florida, especially in the winter.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
They'd leave up north and come. I mean, Jose Lothario was there. Mm. Briscoe was there. Bob Root was there.
Mm.
Hiro Matsuda. I mean, it went on and on. Dale Lewis, it went on and on. The talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so Louis Tillet was the booker then.
Uh-huh.
And so he knew Dickie was training me. And so finally he said, I'm gonna call Louis and get you a match. And he did. My first match was in Fort Myers, Florida,
mm-hmm.
against Duke Kiyomuka.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous, I didn't even remember walking to the ring. I mean, I was horrified.
Yeah.
And then Murdoch and Rhodes came down there. They had they had come out of Detroit.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, those two together, the Dusty could work back then, I'm telling you.
Yep.
They were something else. I mean, the talent, I was so... Ronnie Garvin was there. I mean, I was so blessed to have started in Florida. I mean, the talent. And I'd watch everybody, you know, and just see what they did. That's what my brother-in-law always told me. He said, always watch these matches.
Yeah.
He said, you don't want to imitate anybody. But he said, if you see a guy doing a move that most people don't do, he said, add it to what you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you just become who you are.
Yeah. I mean, you teamed quite a bit with Dick there early on, right? And wrestling with a lot of these guys. I mean, between teaming with Dick and wrestling with these guys, that was almost like your training was continued, right? I mean, is it like a, you know, continued education? You were still learning.
No matter where we wrestled. Well, what happened was we were going to move to Australia in 1970 or 71. And Barnett was going to sell out. And him and Eddie Graham and Buddy Fuller and all, we sold everything we had. And I had already come back up to Columbus, and that him and my sister were, and his, their family was coming up, and then was going to Australia. He called me one Sunday night and he said, the deal's off. I said, what do you mean the deal's off? He said, we're not going to Australia. I said, man, I, you know, gave up my wrestling there in Florida, and I, here I am in Georgia. He said, don't worry about it. I'll be up in a few days and take care of it. So Tom Ernesto was doing the booking here in Georgia then. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, him and Eddie Graham had wrestled, him and Jody Hamilton, forever all over the country. And then we started wrestling here.
Yeah, and pretty early in your career, you made your first trip to Japan. Was that through Dick? Did Dick get you in Japan?
Yes, and you know, I'd only been in the business a year and a half. That was unheard of.
Yeah.
And that was unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I was really kind of nervous about it because, you know, I was still green, you know, but Danny Miller was on that tour. And King Curtis. And we had a great time. That was for international then.
Yeah. I mean, I got to imagine that's kind of, I mean, for a kid from Columbus, Georgia, that's got to be pretty unreal to be in Japan.
I know. I was walking, the night we got there, I'm walking down the streets in Tokyo, and I said that to myself. Here I am from Columbus, Georgia, at my age, and I said, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe what was happening to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was so blessed.
And paid to be there.
Yes, paid to be there. It was a heck of an experience.
Yeah. Do you have any specific matches or memories that pop out that you remember specifically from Florida as highlights for you?
I tell you what, I got booked a lot when I was before wrestling full time. Leo would always put me in Lakeland, Florida, and he would put me in, he booked Garvin and I in there quite a bit.
Yeah.
And Ronnie was working with me, you know, and then he would put me with guys that had experience, you know, that's the only way you learn guys that are better than you are, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I got a lot of matches there in Lakeland and, wound up having some matches in Miami and, everywhere, Tampa, everywhere. I mean, that place was on fire. I mean, it was just, no matter where we went, it just, you know, Jacksonville. It's just, Danny Miller was down there then. Les Thatcher was there. Koa Tiki. I don't know if you remember him or not.
For the name, yeah.
And who else? I mean, the Missouri Mauler. It just went on and on. All, you know. But you had to produce down there. You know, you had to hustle.
Yeah.
You know, that was... You know, guys forgot it was a business, you know, and I can say this about myself. I was blessed to wrestle in the Superdome, you know, and I got out full time before, you know, the pay-per-views and all that stuff.
Right.
But I worked just as hard in front of 25,000 people as I did 500 people.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's not fair to them to pay you to see you and you don't produce, you know. I mean I worked just that made no difference to me.
I mean, it was kind of a different model then, though, right? I mean, you guys were working to sell tickets for the next show.
Exactly,
as opposed to selling pay-per-view buys or whatever. You know if you only had 500, say, hell, let's work our ass off, maybe we can get a, you know, bump that number up next time we're through.
Well, that was the logic then, you know.
Yep.
We weren't on guarantees. You know, we had a minimum guarantee, of course, but I mean, minimum, but
sure. Yeah.
You know, if something happened, the ring didn't make it or something, they'd pay us. But, you know, you got paid on what you did, you know, and it was a wonderful life for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a couple of years after you, your brother Ted started wrestling.
He started wrestling.
Yeah, I'm assuming that you and Dick trained him. Is that correct?
Well, Dick did, really.
Okay.
I worked out with him a few times. I know the first time they were working out here at the Sports Arena here in Columbus. That's what did you know Columbus was the last live TV show in the country?
Really?
Wrestling show, yes, it was. In fact, I went to that arena when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's where I started going to the matches.
Uh-huh.
And I know the first time I wrestled in there on a Saturday afternoon, Dick and I were tag team partners. I couldn't believe it. I mean, hey, goosebumps all over me. And it was on TV, you know. And I'm
yeah.
like, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And the talent here then was unbelievable. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah. But
then Ted started, and I went to Mobile, and then I went to Montgomery, and that's where he actually started.
Okay.
Over there for Bill Golden, Jimmy uh-huh. Golden's dad.
Yep, yep.
And we started teaming up there, and then what happened? That's when Georgia split.
Right. Yeah.
So I was gonna come back to Georgia, and he was gonna stay, and the split happened. You know about all that?
Sure.
That
went, yeah.
With
yeah.
Gunkle and
Gunkle and all them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When Ray Gunkle died, and,
mm-hmm.
and so I went with the Gunkle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but here I am from Columbus, and Fred Ward, they're not going for that. And my father-in-law at the time promoted Savannah, the east coast of Georgia. He promoted yeah. towns over there. And I'm yeah. caught in a trick.
Yeah.
And they called me and said, you got to go back to the actual original people. There's only two of us that did it. That uh-huh. was me and Bob Armstrong.
Okay.
And then they started bringing in talent from Florida, you know, because that's, you know, you mentioned earlier, like we wrestle in these towns every week. You know, there's nobody in the country that could do that again. We yeah. ran Columbus, Georgia 52 weeks a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Every Wednesday night, all the major towns, in every territory.
Yep.
Augusta was on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah and Macon were on Tuesday. Columbus on a spot show. On Wednesday, Thursday, we did Macon TV. You either went to Albany or you went to Athens, Georgia. And then Friday, you went to Atlanta or to Statesboro. You know, then it was just, I mean, and the business was unbelievable.
I mean,
just week after week after week in these same towns. And I mean, it was just, then Wrestling 2 hit the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Then the rest is history there.
But, yeah.
I mean, it was just. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, in the mid 70s, right, you went through Central States and you held the tag titles with Mike George.
I did that before my brother got out there. When my brother got out there, then we had a good run there.
Yeah.
And while we was there, he went to Japan for the first time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we stayed out there almost 2 years, and then we came back home. Now Barnett's running everything. You know?
Yeah.
And then, let me back up. In 73, can I back up?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, of course.
In 73, I'm here wrestling, right? So,
Did
you know the name Leo Garibaldi?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
Him and my brother-in-law started at the same time.
Okay.
Leo was in Georgia, and I knew Leo. I hadn't even nowhere been in the business. I was still in high school. That's when he was doing the booking here. He's the one that did the Tim Woods thing, Mr. Wrestling.
Sure, right.
All right, so anyhow, Leo, he leaves. Tom came in and did the booking. But Leo in 73 was in Dallas, and he called me. And he said, would you be interested in coming to Dallas? I said, well, you know, if you want me, you know. I said, sure. He said, Fritz is retiring. And he wanted me to find somebody that could take his place. I said, well, I don't know if I can take Fritz. I never met the man.
Yeah.
You know, but I knew the history of Dallas. So
yeah.
He said, come on out here. I mean, he got me over so, I mean, it was unreal. I mean, the first night there, I'm wrestling Blackjack Lanza.
Oh, yeah.
And I got him rocking and rolling. Here I am, a young, 24-year-old kid
yeah.
from Columbus, Georgia, and I've got him throwing all over that ring, and Mulligan hit the ring.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I drop kicking them, picking those big jokers up and slamming. I'm over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I worked a deal with Mephisto.
Uh-huh.
In Fort Worth and in Dallas. So it was on a win. I've been there 3 months. And so Leo called me on a Wednesday. He said, are you in San Antonio tonight? Then Joe Blanchard ran that. You know, it was kind of. Like three territories on just that part of Texas.
Yep.
Because Bosch did Houston.
Yep.
So I I said, sure. He said, how about leaving a little early and coming by the arena? I said, okay. I told him what time I'd be there, like 2:30, 2 o'clock, whatever it was. Uh-huh. And I told my wife, I said, I'm just to get my notice. She said, that's impossible. She said, that's impossible. I said, something don't feel right. So Leo, when I got to the sportatorium there in Dallas, uh-huh. Leo said, come on, let's come out here in the arena park. We sat at ringside. He said, do you have any idea, just the two of us? He said, do you have any idea why I called you down here? I said, I got an idea, Leo. He said, what? I said, you fixing to give me my notice. He said, I hate to tell you, but I am. He said, Fritz wants you to go. He said, do you have any idea why? I said, yeah, he can't stand it. You got me over. There's no more Fritz. He said, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And then I came back to Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, you're speaking my you're speaking my language here when you're talking to Blackjacks, because I grew up in Indiana, and obviously the Blackjacks were big here with Bruiser in Indianapolis. And especially Lanza. I always thought, man, Lanza was such a great talent.
And a great guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, worked in business all the way up to, you know, recently, you know, as a producer and agent and everything else.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Yeah. And such a great team. And but tell us, we were talking about Mike George. Mike George is another name that's not talked about much, but a great worker. What did you think about teaming with Mike, and what did you think of him?
You know, he's one of the few guys I still stay in touch with.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, Mike and I first met Mike either here in Georgia or Florida. I think he said it was here in Georgia. And, you know, he was starting and I was starting. And then he went somewhere else. Maybe he went from here to Florida or wherever. Didn't see him for years till I got to Kansas City. And then Geico teamed us up. Mm-hmm. And then I love working with Mike. He was stiff as a board.
Yeah.
But I love working with him. We still stay in touch.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I give him putting a good word for you. I'd love to talk to Mike, interview Mike George. That'd be fun.
He would love it.
Yeah, well, send him my way. I'd absolutely love to talk to him.
I'll do that.
All right.
He just had his shoulder replaced, yeah, and they had to take it back out. He got an infection in there.
Yeah, that's one of the bad things, right? I mean, you guys, your bumps or whatever else over time, you had to have a lot of surgeries, a lot of things replaced.
I've had 7 knee surgeries, including 2 total knee replacements.
Yeah.
I had those done at the same time, which was more than I bargained for, and then I had my right shoulder replaced.
Yeah, it's remarkable to think the things they can do now. And if they could do that 20, you know, 10, 20 years ago, or 20, 30 years ago, some of you, you know, some guys would have had a little prolonged careers.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And over the next few years, right, you went through Georgia. I mean, you did Georgia, Tri-State, Japan, teaming a lot with Ted. You always struck me, did you like moving around to new territories and traveling and seeing new places?
With what?
I said you went to all these different places, right? You in Georgia, you went to Tri-State, you went to Japan several times. Did you enjoy moving around, seeing new areas?
I loved it.
Yeah.
We Ted and I, how did that, let's see. Oh, I went to Kansas City. He comes to Kansas City. Harley got him booked out there. That's when Gunkle was getting ready to fold. Yep. And Harley told me, that's when Harley was doing the booking here. He said, I'm going to get your brother out there with you. About 3 months later, he showed up in Kansas City. And then they teamed my brother and I up. And then Mike was a single again. Mm-hmm. And, man, we had some matches out there. It was unbelievable. We stayed out there almost 2 years, 74, 75. Then we come to Georgia.
Yeah.
And Tom's still doing the booking. They teamed us up, and they put the Georgia tag belts on us, and we were rocking and rolling. Then I got to have knee surgery. I hurt my knee originally in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And I told my brother, I can't go anymore, man. I got to have my knee fixed. I got to have my knee. I just couldn't go anymore. Torn cartilage, you know.
Yeah.
No ligaments, just cartilage. So Dr. Andrews here, you probably heard of him.
Yep.
He was just really starting out. And he did my knee, and I was out 9 weeks. So right before my surgery, Barnett called me at home. He said, my boy, I got you and your brother booked in Japan. I just talked to Dory Jr. and he gave me a starting date.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So this is like 10 weeks out now. I gotta have the surgery. So Dr. Andrews operated on my knee. I said, I'm going to Japan in 9 weeks. He said, I don't know about that. I said, I'm going. That would have been my second trip. I was going for Baba this time.
Yeah.
And so we were the Georgia Tag Team Champions, blah, 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 blah. So that was before computers and iPhones and telephone, cell phones and all that stuff. We go through customs. Joe Iguchi says, how's your knee? I'm going, huh? I wonder how they knew I had knee surgery over here back then. You know, yeah. You know, there's no internet and all that crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, it's good. So the next night, they put me with Jumbo. You knew who Jumbo was?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Of course.
They said, they had me go 30 minutes with him. And I was not in tip-top wrestling shape. I did it. And my knee was sore, but, you know, I did it. And then the next night, we do TV in Tokyo. Now, my brother and I are the All-Asian Tag Team Champions.
Uh-huh.
And he screwed a deal up for us. My brother did.
What happened?
We were there 5 weeks. And so as the tour's winding down, Oki Quintero, headbutt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he promoted South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So me being the older brother, Joe comes to me and he said, the Koreans want you and your brother. When this tour's over, 1 week in Korea, they pay everything. They do in Japan, except your food.
Yeah.
He said, they pay everything. They go fly us there. They wanted to send out the publicity. We were the All-Asian Tag Team Champions, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's going to be my brother and I and Abdullah. Abdullah's going to be the single. We're going to be the tag, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I tell my brother, he said, all right. Like, he wasn't really interested. I said, what do you mean, all right? I said, I'll let you know. I said, you going to let me know what? He said, I'm going to let you know if I'm going to go or not. I'm thinking, I've been out of work 9 weeks. And here we got a chance to do something that two Georgia boys, this has been dumped on us, and you going to think about it? So you rocked along. So about 2 days later, Joe said, everything good? I said, he ain't let me know yet. He said, tomorrow night, I have to know. The Koreans have to know tomorrow night. So we went to breakfast that morning. I said, I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you going to Korea? No. I said, you're not going. He said, no. He said, I'm flying my wife to Hawaii. I'm going, really? So I told Joe, he said, okay, let me get. So he talked to Oki Quintero. And so what they did, they teamed Butcher and I up, and Johnny Gray, who was from Australia,
uh-huh.
he went. It's not what they want.
Yeah.
You know, so did you know my brother never went back to Japan? They never mentioned his name again. Did you know what that cost us?
No. What did it cost us?
Over $1 million. We were, it was the Funks, original brothers, the Briscoes. I don't think they ever went together. I don't think. I'm not. We'd have been the next in line. We'd have eventually gotten 16 weeks a year.
Yeah.
That'd have been for the next 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
They never mentioned him again.
Did you ever find out how they knew about your knee?
Never did. That was scary.
Man, I mean, someone must have placed the call or something. It was weird. That's odd.
But then we go to Japan and come back. Barnett had this all in his plans for us.
Uh-huh.
My brother was married. Do you know who Fred Ward was?
Sure, yeah.
Fred Ward promoted Macon, Columbus, Albany, and he ran spot shows.
Right.
My father-in-law promoted the East Coast mm-hmm. of Georgia.
Yep.
He wanted us out of here, Barnett. For what reason, I don't know. So I go to Korea and come back. My brother's already back from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife meet me at the airport. He said, we don't have a job. I said, what do you mean we don't have a job? I said, Barnett fired us while we were gone. And Barnett, when he called me, he said, my boy, when you get back, things are going to be different for you. I didn't know it was going to be that different.
Really?
That was his plan. That's how he operated. But anyhow, so he said, Bill Watson wants you to call him. I said, I'm not going there, man. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to Louisiana. I heard about those trips, right?
Yeah.
So my brother's father-in-law, who was Ralph Reed, who was married to Fred Ward's daughter, he worked in the office. He called me the next morning. You got to call Watts today at 12 o'clock. I said, I'm not going out there, man. He said, you got to call him. So I called him. And I knew Bill. Bill.
Yeah.
When he was here in Georgia. And he was good to me. He was good to me. And so I called him. He said, look, I got back from Japan on Monday and I'm calling him Tuesday. He said, I want you to fly out here Friday. I'm like, my God, I'm worn out. He said, I want you to fly out here Friday. I want you to do TV for me Saturday, 2 tapings. He said, we do TV every 2 weeks. And he said, I want you to see what we have here. I said, I don't know, Bill. I said, I've heard about those trips. He said, look, he said, if you come out here, he said, you'll be the North American heavyweight champion. You'll be our main baby face guy. And he said, I'll help you with your trans. I said, all right. So he sent me a ticket. I fly out there. He picks me up at the airport, takes me to dinner. We go to TV Saturday morning. I walk in, there's Carl Cox, there's Murdoch.
Yeah.
And them guys are looking at me, who's this guy? I knew Murdoch from Florida. Uh-huh. And they look at me and say, you coming in? I said, I don't know. I'm thinking about it. And so on the way back to the airport Saturday, he said, what do you think after we did TV? I said, all right, I'll come. He said, you're starting in 2 weeks. He already got it mapped out. He said, you're starting in 2 weeks. He knew I was going to come after I got out there.
Yeah.
They had some great talent. And so I did. I went back out there. And the first night in the I started again in 2 weeks. We did 2 more tapings.
Right.
And that night I'm in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And I go to Arkansas by myself. Watts flew in from Oklahoma in his plane. And so I'm in the dressing room. Bill's in the dressing room. And Kim Patero walked in. Kim was in the territory. He said, Watts told us that don't even unpack your bag. He said, you're done. He said, you didn't show up for Thanksgiving show. He said, you're done. I'm thinking, my God, he just fired an Olympic champion. I ain't got a chance. He fired him on the spot. But I'll tell you what, there's 2 guys I love working for, maybe 3 guys. Love working for Renesto. I love working for Ole Anderson and Bill Watts. Everybody else will tell you different. That's who I love working for.
Yeah.
Because they ran it like a business. They didn't put up with no crap.
None. Yeah, right.
And he did everything he said he was going to do for me.
Yeah. Well, you also worked for Don Owens.
I left there and went to Oregon.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah, that was around 78. You went there. How did you wind up going up that? I mean, that's kind of out of the zone where you were. You've been.
Well, I'm going to tell you how that happened. I'll tell you how that happened. I'm wrestling Harley in St. Louis. I mean, New Orleans.
Right.
Place packed. Uh-huh. He put me over on TV at Shreveport TV when he's a world champion. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
They told me, they said, you're working on a race today on TV. I'm thinking, oh, hell, I'm done here. I'm the North American champion, right? He's a world champion. So the referee said, Bill wants to see, wants you to come down there and talk to him and Harley. I said, all right. So I went down there. They was in a separate room. They said, Harley wants to put you over right on TV, 1, 2, 3. Because I'm going to work with him when he comes back around.
Yeah.
And he did. He did I did something, boom, he slammed me, boom, boom, boom. He went up on the top and do a cross body block. And it was a continuous roll. I hooked his leg, 1, 2, 3. The people in that studio went crazy. I got on TV. I'm going to wrestle Harley Thursday night in New Orleans. My family's coming in. They know I can beat him, blah, blah, blah. Place was jam-packed. Couldn't get another human in there. And that was how the business was, you know?
Uh-huh.
And for him to have done that, I thought was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I'm wrestling him that night in New Orleans.
Yeah.
He had just come out of Oregon. he'd gone to Oregon somewhere else in between when he put me over on TV, right?
Yeah.
So he's in Oregon. He said, "Hey," he said, "they want you in Oregon." I said, "Well, we're getting instructions." I said, "What?" He said, "They want you in Oregon. You should come to my room tomorrow." I said, "Okay." I said, "What the hell?" We have our mats on. So I go to his room. He said, "They always ask me when I come through who can carry the mail." And he said, "I told them you." He said, "They know who you are from Atlanta TV, you know, TBS.
Yep, yep.
He said, "They know who you are." So he got Don Owens on the phone, and I made the deal with him. And I went out there.
So Harley got you in.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it. I'd been there 6 months. My brother, when he left Georgia, I went to Louisiana. He hung around here a little bit, and then he went to the Carolinas. And then so yeah. I'm out in Oregon, and he calls me, and he said, "George Scott wants you to come to the Carolinas." I said, "Ted," I said, "I've only been here 6 months. I'm all the way as far as I can go without leaving the country."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He said he's going to team us up. I'm going. And I knew George.
Yeah. You know?
God almighty. But I loved Oregon. I loved it, though.
Yeah.
Jesse and I teamed up. I teamed with Snooker some. They put the titles on me and Jesse.
Yeah.
And I was Pacific singles champion. I mean, they took care of me. I was making money, saving money, loved it.
Yep.
So I said, okay. So I told Don Owens, he said, okay. He said, "I understand." So then I went to the Carolinas, and my God, that place was on fire.
Yeah.
I got there in 78.
Yeah.
That's when it was rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
I know I got my first check. I said, "My God, how long has this been going on?" He says, "It's been going on a while, but what they did, they put us in a slot. We were semifinal every night. That was a tag territory.
You know? Right, yeah.
And they teamed us up, and we were on every big show that ran. And they knew we could, if they needed time, we could get it, or whatever they needed, we could do it. We worked with Sweet Hansen and Gene Anderson.
Yeah,
Gene Anderson and and Rene Goulet. They teamed. We wrestled every tag team up there, and then we decided we was gonna come home.
Yeah,
and it was great. I mean, we were walking away from a lot of money, and then we opened a car detailing place, and I had bought gym equipment through the years, and I had some gym equipment, and we bought a building, and there was a building to the side that had a downstairs and upstairs, and I had my weights upstairs, and some guy said, "I heard y'all got a gym." I said, "Not really." I said, "I got an Olympic set, a lap machine, and a preacher bench and a flat bench." He said, "How much you charge me to work out here?" I said, $20 a month. Then another guy come. Next thing I know, I moved the gym downstairs and started buying more equipment. And then my brother, car business went haywire. That's when the interest rates went up so high to like 18%. Cars stopped selling. Mm-hmm. I said, "I'm going to turn this whole place into a gym." He said, "I don't want nothing to do with that." So he went back on the road. I turned that thing into a gym. I had that gym for 25 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. But you opened that gym, and man, it ran for a long time.
It was. They talk about it to this day.
Yeah.
We had lawyers. We had judges. We had every kind of doctor. We had plastic surgeons. Regular general practice doctors, surgeons, dentists. We had every walk of life in this town in that gym.
Yeah.
And everybody in town knew where it was. I mean, it was, they still talk about it today.
Yeah. And in the early.
I knew I couldn't, I was old enough then. I said, I can't do this forever.
Sure.
And it was a blessing, but I was still doing a lot of wrestling here. I was still flying back out for Watts. I was going to Detroit. I was still going to Japan. I went to Arabia. I went to Canada. I went to Puerto Rico. I was still wrestling, you know.
Yep.
So I had my gym. I was putting on bodybuilding shows. I was training guys. I was living the life, you know.
Yeah. Well, and in the early 80s, you trained Marty Jannetty. So how did you end up meeting Marty and wind up training him? Did you meet him there in the gym?
Yeah, he's from Columbus.
Sure, yeah.
He was a great amateur wrestler.
Sure. Yeah.
Do you know all the horror stories?
Well, I don't know if I know all of them, but
well, I don't think any of us know all of them.
Yeah.
So he was a heck of a amateur wrestler here. He wrestled at Hardaway High School. Uh-huh. Nobody could touch him. He was just a gifted athlete.
Yep.
And I don't think he ever lost a match in high school. He just beat everybody. He'd get out there and play with them. So him and another guy started driving a furniture truck, delivering furniture. So he was working at the gym. He said, "Don't you teach me to wrestle?" I said, "I don't know, Marty, blah, 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 blah." He kept on running me crazy. And I said, "Okay." And sure enough, he picked it up pretty quick. And then they wanted me and my brother to come to St. Louis for Larry Manzac.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Larry was running after Sam and them. And so I said, "Nah, my brother, we's having issues." My brother and I always got along in the ring. Outside the ring, you know, women and this and this and this. You couldn't depend on me.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I said, "Look, I trained the guy, so I can bring him out there as our kid brother. He's okay." Then he went out there as Marty Yotes.
Right, yeah.
So I took him out there, and he was green as grass. But he did all right. I think we were. I forgot who we were. Adrian Adonis and somebody. Maybe Murdoch. I don't know. Yeah. I told him he was green, you know, just lead him around. But he did all right. And then sure enough, he hit the big time. But he couldn't stay. He couldn't keep his act together, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of still to this day. He's a little wild.
Even to this day. I know Strongbow. Did you ever meet him?
No, I haven't met him, no.
I knew him as Joe Scarpa when I was a kid.
Sure, yeah.
Brother.
Yep.
And so when I was coming to Detroit for the Sheik, Strongbow would be there.
Yep, right.
And then, this is years later, the WWE or WWF, what it was WWF, then they come to town. So Ricky Hunter. Did you know who Ricky Hunter was?
Uh-huh. Yep, sure.
Ricky came by. He said, "Hey, the chief wants you to come down there tonight. He wants to see you." I said, "I don't know." He said, "Man, he wants to see you." So I went down there.
Yeah.
And he said.
Which Jay was Jay was an agent at this time, right?
Yeah. And I hadn't seen Jay in years.
Yeah.
And we hugged and talked. He said, "I know you trained that goof, Jannetty." He said, "Now he told me this. Whenever they came in the 90s, late 80s, 90s, whenever they came here, he said, you know what I told him?" He said, "Jannetty, you got all these guys in the dressing room laughing." He was a clown, man. Wasn't serious business to him.
Yeah.
He said, "You got all these guys laughing." He said, "But one day they're going to be laughing at you. And I'll be damned if it didn't come true."
Yeah. When was the last time you talked to Marty? Has it been a long time?
Yeah, we had a Oaks Gym get together about 6 months ago.
Oh yeah,
and he showed up. I was shocked.
Yeah,
huh. I spoke to him and all. I mean, you know, he made a ton of money.
Yep,
sure but he did. You know, him and Michaels got fired the first night they went to New York.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Yep.
But nothing, his philosophy, nothing was serious.
Yeah.
But how you make your living is, I think, is pretty serious if you're making that kind of money. And I didn't begrudge him. I mean, he was on pay-per-views, and I never got to do that. And more power to him, you know.
Yeah.
Look what Mickey Mantle made, 100 grand a year. That's they make right. that a game now.
That's right. What did you think working for the Sheik? What was it like? What was it like? What was Sheik like? Did you ever get to see him? You know, obviously you probably did break that character, right? You know, most people say he was very protective. What was he like?
Where are you in Michigan?
No, I'm in North Carolina now, but I'm originally from Indiana.
They had opened Joe Louis Arena.
Sure.
And I was on the main event with him in Joe Louis Arena.
Yep.
It went about 3 minutes.
Yep.
And that place was, I had never been to a wrestling match like that place.
Yeah.
It was like, you go in the dressing room, I don't know if they were fans or who in there, you know? I'm going, what in the hell? I tell you who was up there, Don Kent. Did you know Don Kent?
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm a huge Don Kent fan.
Oh, that's where I met him.
Yeah.
What a nice man.
Oh, yeah. What a worker.
Unbelievable. I worked with Ernie Ladd up there.
Yeah.
Who else? I don't know. Murdoch.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it, you know, but it was different. And then I met the Bear Man, and I went up to Canada for him, me and Haystacks. Mm-hmm. I rode up there with Haystacks.
Yeah. Well, one thing from your career that kind of jumped at me, in 84, you were back in Georgia, you were teaming with Ronnie Garvin.
Right.
And you guys defeated the Road Warriors for the national tag titles.
We did.
So, yeah. And they were young.
Right here in my hometown. And everybody at my gym said, we coming tonight, you go get your brains beat out. And did you know I'd never seen them?
I'd never
seen them.
No.
I hadn't even seen them on TV. So Jake Roberts was doing the booking. He called me and said, you want to work some? I said, yeah, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And so he started booking me more regular than what I was doing. And he said, I'm going to put you and Garvin with the Road Warriors. I said, I've heard of them. I ain't seen them. He said, okay, Wednesday night. So we got in the ring. We went out first. That place is packed. I mean, every guy that worked out and girl that worked out in my gym was dying there because they'd been watching them.
Yeah.
And so we get in the ring. Garvin said, have you seen them? I said, no. He said, you're in for a treat. They were green as grass.
Yeah.
And so they come out. I said, oh, my God. But we had a great match with them. I took a fall on, I don't know, it was Hawk. I think Hawk. 1, 2, 3, that place went crazy. Then we wrestled them the next week for the title, and we beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just right place at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, as well, because they were, man, they got over just right from the jump. And, man, they were always over. No matter where they went, what they did. You know, I mean, it was just, I mean, it's that phrase now, right? The Road Warrior Pop.
Yeah.
And there's something to that. So,
and you know, I hated that animal. I mean, Hawk wound up like he did, you know?
Yeah.
And Joe was real upset about it, the way he did him.
Yeah.
He went back to Japan on his own and, you know.
Yeah. He teamed with some other guys, Sasuke and stuff, did the Hellraisers and different things without animal.
You know, that's, after I had issues with my brother with that Japan thing, you know, if you're known as a tag team wrestler, you know, just because they're your brother, that don't mean nothing. I mean, everybody's got their own mindset on how things should go or where you should be or whatever. You know, I never, after that, that he pulled that thing about not going to Korea.
Yeah.
I think he has no idea what that cost us.
Yeah.
We'd have been in every tournament they had, tag tournament, after that.
Yeah.
And of course that never happened, but I kept going. But
yeah.
You know, I was a type guy. I was kind of a loner. I mean, I wasn't a partier. After the matches, I'd, you know, get something to eat and go. If I was on the road, spend the night, get up next morning, hit a gym wherever I was and go to the next town. That's who I was. I mean, that's how I made my living.
Sure.
And I took care of my living.
Yeah.
And I never got any trouble. Those guys, let's go out drinking tonight, Murdoch. They'd get in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't do that. I never did do it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not saying I never rode with guys, and I had guys riding with me that I picked. You know, I wouldn't haul a doper. You know, guys smoke pot, that's their business. I'm not putting that down if that's what you do, but you're not going to do it with me.
Yeah.
In my car.
Yep.
But I'm not going to jail for you or nobody else.
Yeah. And
there was a bunch of that going on. Back in that day, it was just mostly pot, but then years later, you saw them dying like flies in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that.
So but you know, we all have choices, Dave.
Sure.
You know, and I did the choices that I thought was best for me.
Yep.
You know, and I always thought I had a good reputation, a good name. If you booked me, I showed up. I never bitched or complained about my money. If I didn't like what I got and thought I should have got more, you know, then I wouldn't go back or whatever. But I know I told, we had a, they used to have a reunion every year in Mobile. Uh-huh. And so I went to the first one. I'd never been to one. My son went with me, and Leon Ogle went, and Ole was there.
Yeah.
We're sitting there, and he said, I'm going to ask you one question. He said, you think I ever screwed you on a payoff? I said, I don't want to get into all that. He started laughing. But he, guys complained about him and Watts. You know why they didn't like it? Because they ran it the way it's supposed to be run.
Sure. Well, yeah. I mean, there's a reason they were successful.
They were successful. And they ate and breathed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it was a wonderful life for me. And there's not a day goes by I don't think about it.
Yeah. Well, and like you mentioned earlier, right, you're often remembered as a tag team wrestler, right? I mean, you teamed with so many great guys, right? I mean, your brother Ted Steinborn, you know, we talked about George Ventura, Garvin, on and on and on. Did that ever bother you that people, I mean, you had good singles stuff too, good singles runs.
I mean, when I went to Kansas City, Louisiana.
Yeah.
I was single. I went to Oregon, single and tag there.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be considered a tag team wrestler, you know.
Yeah.
But all kidding aside, regardless of the situation with my brother and I, we were one hell of a team.
Right. Yeah. And that's how people remember you, right? I mean,
I'm
mostly.
Not bragging on myself. I'm talking about as a team. You can ask anybody that ever worked with us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so when and why did you decide to retire?
I started in March of 1970, mm-hmm. and I had my last in March of 2000. Mm-hmm. And I really shouldn't have done it. My knees were so bad, but I wanted to say I wrestled in 5 decades. That's why I did it.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't going to be a guy that hung on and hung on. I mean, my last match, I tell you, I was 62 when I had my last match.
Yeah.
And I was still in shape. I'm still in shape today. I'm not as big as I was. I mean, I don't need to wait anymore.
Yeah.
But I still work out. I can't do everything I want to do in the gym anymore, but I do what I can do, you know.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be embarrassed to put on a pair of trunks now, but I'm not going to do that. I mean, I know my age, but in my heart and mind, I'm 25.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give in to all that. I had a birthday this past Thursday, but
yeah.
I don't give in to all that, you know.
Yeah.
But the wear and tear, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're battered, you know. But I'm not gonna go somewhere and make a fool out of myself.
Right.
Well, not gonna do it. I mean, yeah. That's just say they would you book me somewhere around here where people know who I really am, and you know, and I'm gonna be on the main event. Well, I could go out there, but when the bell rings, now what?
Right.
I got two artificial knees, artificial shoulder. I mean, that's not fair. You know. Yeah. I mean. And nobody wants to see that. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned some reunions and different things. So do you get out there sometimes and do some conventions and signings and things like that when they're in the area?
I never do. I never do. I had a guy call me. I had guys call me all the time. You can come up here and sell pictures. Did you know I've never sold a picture? I've always given my pictures away, autographed. I don't charge one.
Huh.
But that looks cheesy to me.
Yeah. Well, I would have thought you at some point you would have went down in for Barry Rose and did one of those reunions in Florida.
And where?
Down in Florida with Barry Rose used to do all those reunions.
Yeah, I never went.
No?
I only went to the one in Mobile. That's the only reunion I ever went to.
Yeah.
I never gone to Cauliflower Alley or nothing.
No. So you just, wrestling's done. You just moved on to the next chapter.
and I don't watch it. I hadn't watched it.
Well, it's a different beast. Don't bother.
Yeah, I mean, everybody thinks that generation was
definitely
whatever.
Yeah,
but you know, I know Gordon Soley. I know when Ted Turner took over wrestling here in Georgia.
Yep,
Gordon Soley. I picked him up at the airport because he'd come to see Dr. Andrews. I think Dr. Andrews replaced his hip or, Gordon had hurt his ankle. Anyhow, I picked him up at the airport. We were taking him up to see Dr. Andrews. And he said, you know, he said, I've known you since you started. And he said, if you would come to Atlanta at center stage and see what goes on there, he said, I know you well enough. He said, you would sit there a few minutes, you would fold your Halliburton back up and walk out that door. He said, I know you.
Yeah.
He said, it's not what you know.
Yeah.
It was changing then, you know. They was putting guys on. Brad Armstrong told me he got a $75,000 a year guarantee and he worked once a month.
Yeah. Jeez. Well, I mean, if you'd gone anywhere, well, I mean, you couldn't be Jerry Oates, right? They'd have to make you some cartoon character or something, right? I mean, they'd have to give you some kind of name at that time.
Now, if I'd have went to New York, do you think I'd have done what Terry Taylor did?
The Red Rooster? No, I don't. I'd hope not, Jerry.
I respected the business more than that. To get out there and walk around with a conch on the top of my head, like walking around like a rooster.
And what's funny, Terry Taylor could have gone in there just as Terry Taylor and done, got over better.
There's no way. There's some things I won't do for money. That was one of them. I wouldn't do that for money. I would do it. No. I would make a fool out of myself. I would have told Vince, if you think it's so good, why don't you go out there and do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not better than anybody else. I'm me though. I love what I did as much as anybody that ever did.
Yeah.
And I wasn't gonna bring any embarrassment to that or myself.
Yeah, and that's gonna be one of the great things. We can sit here and talk for an hour. We're just talking about your career and everything else. There's no black marks, no blemishes, no arrests, no controversy that to bring up and talk about and have you address. We're just talking about you getting to wrestle. I mean, that's,
so you're telling me I'm boring now.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
It's nice because sometimes you do these interviews, right? And you have to ask about certain things.
And I don't get on here on your show and use profanity and all that stuff. You know, yeah. I just, I'm not telling you I don't use it, but I'm not going to use it on your show. You know, sure. I just respect you for having me on here.
Of course. Yeah. It's like I said, it's nice just to get on here and hear the stories from the territories and hear, I mean, because you worked on pretty much all. And I mean, for the most part, went through about everywhere. And, you know, and it's nice to just hear that, not have to worry about the other stuff. And
I just lived it the way I thought it should be lived.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of honor in that, Jerry. At least when it's all said and done, you mentioned earlier, maybe you didn't do the pay-per-views. Maybe you didn't make millions of dollars, but you don't have anything to be ashamed of. Nothing to be embarrassed by. You never had to play a farm animal. And so, you know,
it's like this Billy the Goat or something, you know.
Yeah. That's right. You never know. But could have been a different world, Jerry.
I mean, everything's different now, you know.
It is, yeah.
The whole world's changed. It's like I don't know it anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I live my life the way I want to live my life, and I don't bother anybody. I have a wonderful lady now in my life.
Yeah. Are you still in Columbus?
Yes.
Or back in Columbus? Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Well, that's good.
I lived in Savannah for 10 years, but I came back home.
There you go. I mean, Jerry, I appreciate you giving me time, and maybe down the road we'll have to revisit, do a part two, and dive a little deeper.
Anytime.
Yeah, dive a little deeper into one of these, maybe just focus on one of your stops and dive deeper into that. I just want everybody to get kind of an overview of Jerry Oates' career and how much you accomplished and how much you did. And, you got nothing, everything to be proud of, Jerry, and to keep your chin up. And, you know, it's an honor to talk to you and have this time. And like I said, we'll do it again sometime and dive a little deeper.
Well, it's an honor for you having me.
Well, I appreciate that, Jerry. I appreciate that. I like to talk to you guys. I like to hear your stories and document them let people hear them and get them out there. I mean, I fully enjoy hearing people tell their stories of their career.
And well, there's another thing I'll tell you. I don't get on here and lie. Mm-hmm. I don't tell you I beat this guy. I'll tell you one quick story.
Okay.
I forgot where I was. Maybe Louisiana.
Yeah.
And I got three guys with me. Uh-huh. I'm driving. And they're talking, yeah, when I was out in Oregon, I beat this guy. I worked him over, and this guy, that guy. And I heard that for about 100 miles.
Yeah.
I said, you know what's funny to me, guys? I said, neither three of you have mentioned what you did to Jack Briscoe. Oh, man. No. That was one bad egg, man.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack.
If that ever got back to him. But, you know, guys, you know, I did a podcast for 10 years here. It was called Peace State Pandemonium.
Uh-huh.
And we'd have guests on there, mm-hmm, that I was in the territory with these guys.
Yeah.
And they're telling stories that never happened.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on that. It's so hard to weed through. And the funny thing is, even the bigger stars, the top stars, I mean, and I'm gonna call.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I mean, they tell lies, and it's like, man, you've got enough in your career. You don't need to make up stuff. You've got enough stories to tell on your own.
Well, Dave, it's too easy to find out if it's a lie or not.
I know it. And the thing is, like with this particular person, I'm thinking of him. Yeah, his lies, they're not even close. They're like
not even close.
It's like, man, give me a break. But that's what kills me. It's like your career's fascinating enough. Just talk about that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, well. But I appreciate that, Jerry. I appreciate you coming out talking to me and being straight. And you know, again, it's fascinating enough. We don't need to add anything to it or whatever else. You have enough great stories.
Exactly.
So,
but thank you again for having me, Dave.
You're welcome. And we'll stay in touch, Jerry. And this will be out in a few weeks. I got a few ahead of you, but
okay.
I'll let you know when it's coming out. So that you can watch for it. Yep. And like I said, we'll stay in touch. Maybe down the road do a part two and dive a little deeper.
Yeah, anytime.
Hey, it's Bob Smith, and guess what? The Outdated Wrestling Hour is now part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. But hey, no fear. You're still going to hear the unique guests, comedy, music, authors, journalists, funny people. Who knows who's going to end up on the Outdated Wrestling Hour? Remember, it's all new and all old. So check it out in the WrestleCopia Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts. Listen if you know what's good for you.
Hey everybody, Gene Jackson here, inviting you to check out the Retro Wrestling Review, where each week I'm joined by some great co-hosts who help me review classic episodes of USWA Championship Wrestling, and right now we are doing week-by-week reviews of 1993. But we don't just do reviews, sometimes we get a chance to interview some of the people who were there and lived it, plus do watch-alongs. It's a lot of fun, so check out new episodes that drop every Wednesday at WrestleCopia.com. And to find links to everything associated to the podcast, you can go to uswapodcast.com.
Okay, and welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. I am Dave Dynasty. Thank you to Jerry Oates for coming on and being my guest on this episode. Great interview. Jerry's a great guy. I hope to have him on again in the future and talk to him some more about his amazing career. Guys, like I mentioned earlier, go and follow me on X. I'm there at the Dave Dynasty. That seems to be the best way to follow me and keep track of all things. Also, make sure you go and check out all the WrestleCopia network of podcasts. You can look them up on your favorite podcast platform or go to WrestleCopia.com. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net or download the app on any of your devices. All right, next week, my guest will be Lucha Libre's number one fan, Roy Lucier. And of course, we talk all about Lucha Libre, as well as tape trading and collecting action figures and much, much more. Roy is a good friend, a great guy. It was so much fun to talk to him. I will definitely be having him on again in the future because he and I could just chit-chat and tell stories and talk wrestling just indefinitely, I believe. So it's a great, great interview. It's going to be highly entertaining, so check that out next episode. Thank you, guys. For all of your listen, your supports, your follow, your interaction, your downloads, your subscriptions, et cetera, et cetera. Like I said, go and follow the new Facebook page, Nostalgic Dave Dynasty, as I try to rebuild some form of a presence on Facebook and see what happens there. So let's get out of here. So until next week and next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.